If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In John's Gospel, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, and for the past 8-9 weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. The Bible identifies him from the King James as the Paraclete. Paraclete is one called alongside to help. Let's be more specific. He is the crutch to your broken leg. Now, what is his fundamental purpose? Well, let's shift from Pentecostalism to a more biblical context. In Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is the tongue talker, the dancer. He's the gift energizer, but he's more than that. Those are just some of the more public aspects of his ministry. But Jesus says he will teach you everything that Jesus taught you. He will bring it to your remembrance. He will reveal things to come, which means he'll tell you the future. In other words, the Father sends Jesus to save you. Jesus says, I'm going back to God, praying to the Father that he'll send allos parakaleo, one just like me, but another with distinctive responsibilities, and he will come to you and he will help you. That's really what his task is, to help you. So we've been zeroing in on some of the helping areas to enable you to assume your role as the body of Christ. Now, a lot of doctrine comes to us, and it's my responsibility to correct doctrine that is not always as accurate as it should be. Okay? That's part of my role as the shepherd. I told you, I'm the bishop to the Bethel Fellowship, but to you, I'm your pastor. And you should call me pastor. And don't ever lose that. You'll hear everybody else in the fellowship call me bishop, but I better not hear you call me that. Because pastoring is more like it's a personal relationship. My episcopal duties are those, but for you, I'm your. All right, let's not lose that. That's important to me. There was no greater title in my life than watching my daughter call me daddy. She doesn't say daddy anymore. Now she's dad. She's grown up, and I guess pretty soon it'll be hey you. That's okay. I'm going to get her back. I'm going to grow older, and I'm going to get her back. You see, her and Darius, I'm going to pay them back. But understand now, so now we find that the Holy Spirit's task is to reveal the intimate knowledge that God wants you to have as your Father. We don't know how to relate to God in that context. So the Spirit comes to teach us. So we've dealt with some of the preliminary things, and let's go back to the Galatian context. If you go over to the book of Galatians, remembering now in our teaching that Paul addresses these churches, and he makes it very clear in his introductory chapter. He says, unto the churches of Galatia, and history tells us that there are 7 congregations that make up the Galatian church, and they have a unique relationship with Paul. And Paul gets a little bit testy with them because they've allowed some outside people to come and shake up their relationship. So Paul kind of corrects it by clarifying his apostolic role and letting them know exactly who he is in Christ. See, oftentimes we forget who our leader is. If we don't see our leader as who God made them, then we can't receive when God tells them to tell us something. While I love you, while I embrace you, while I want to connect as a father to you, I don't ever want you to become common with me and miss what God is saying to me. Don't do that. Just because I'm a very self-effacing person, but don't lose the fact that I am God's man. And if I tell you something, it's from the Lord. Amen? Don't ever seek to become common with me. That's why you won't see me playing volleyball with you at the picnic. No, that's not my role. I'm not to play volleyball with you. I'm to pray with you because I never want you to see me outside of who I am. There's only one group of people that could see me that way, and that's my family. And that's okay because they remember who I was before I got here. But I don't say that with malice, but I say it because it's important. I wanted to keep my pastor at a distance so that when I needed counsel, I could respect what he was saying to me. So don't lose that, Bethel, because I certainly won't lose it for you. And then in Galatians chapter 4, as Paul tries to close that door on the fighting, in verse 12, he says, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are." In other words, let's not try to be more than what God made us. Be as I am, all right? Because I'm like you. I share the same burdens as you do. Do you think that I don't have struggles? Do you think that I don't have concerns? Do you think that I don't wrestle with certain issues? No, I'm just like you. The things that I preach to you, I have to live them. I have to live holy. God doesn't have a special set of rules for preachers. We have to live holy. We have to walk by faith. I have to live with my wife according to knowledge, just like you do. I have to wash dishes. I have to wash clothes. I have to clean up after myself. I have to put up the remote control. I got to do all that stuff. I got to put the trash out. After I preached those 3 nights and the Holy Spirit moved, I still had to put the dishes up. Amen. I'm just like you. Amen. Amen. I'm just like you. So Paul says, listen, there is a commonality. He says, you have not injured me at all. So don't think that I'm all, you know, befuddled because you talk about me or you say negative things. You haven't injured me. You see, I'm just a regular person. What did they injure? They injured their view of Paul. Their view of Paul. So Paul says, all right, he says, you know how through the infirmity of the flesh I preach the gospel unto you. You know that I've struggled. You know that I've been here. You know that even during moments of physical weakness, I continue to preach to you, and you should appreciate that. He says, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as you would have received Jesus Christ. Now, let's cut down to verse 19. He says, my little children, of whom I travail and birth again until Christ be formed in you. My brothers and sisters, that is the goal of the pastoral ministry, and I'll just single out the pastoral ministry. When Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4, he makes it very clear that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher has one singular purpose: to equip you for the work. And that's what I've been focusing on for the past 6-7 months, because the ministry of the church is so vast, I can't do it by myself. So I'm going to start being very intentional about training and equipping you. And so we start here with the precious Holy Spirit. But the key is that Christ be formed in you. What does that mean? It means that the character of Christ must begin to become primary in you. The more of the word you hear, the more it chops away all that junk that keeps Christ from being formed in you. Now here we are coming to around the middle of the 8th month of the year. From January 1st to now, more of Christ should be in you than it was on the 1st of January 2016. Are you with me? All right, there should be a different response to certain people. Certain things shouldn't upset you as much as they used to do. Because now you've been reading the word, listening to the Holy Spirit. We're in our Bible reading through the year. Who's keeping up with it? All right, those of you that aren't, get down to this altar. I took the time to write out that list of scriptures. What's wrong with you? It's only a few chapters a day. I'm not going to fuss. I'll let Pastor Aaron do that. But understand now. So Paul says, I want you to understand that I travail, I work, I pray, I'm there until Christ be formed in you. Now, what are the two characteristics of Christ? Number one is character. Number two, it's works. Jesus came to do two things, to reveal the character of God and the works of God. And so you and I now take his place. And I need you to understand, we take his place. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you. When anything is chosen, it's chosen to fill a void. What is the void that we fill? We fill the physical void of Jesus. When he left, there was a void. He was not here to do the things of God. So you and I are now left here to do the things of God. Okay? So that means we must bring to the table the same things that Christ brought to the table. So in Ephesians chapter 4, after Paul teaches that great series of messages from chapters 1 through 3, on what you are to be, that we are seated in heavenly places, that we are saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God so that no one can brag or boast about it. He explodes in chapter 4 and says, now listen here, you have been taught how to live. You have been taught the way God wants you to live. So he says, you must walk worthy of the vocation that you're called. So what are you called? Read that passage. What are you called into? He says you are to walk worthy of this vocation. Now, there has been a disproportionate view of holiness. On the one hand, holiness has been restrictive, constraining, oppressive, and pharisaical. Don't go here. Don't go there. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Don't dress in this manner. Don't do such and such. Then as the sword swung after the 1970s into a more liberal, contemporary form of Christianity, we got rid of all the constraints. See, when it was on this side, you couldn't get divorced. You couldn't, you know, do certain things. Women couldn't wear pants. You couldn't go to the movies. You couldn't go to the beaches, so forth and so on. But then it swung in the 70s. With the more contemporary Christian charismatic movement, now we do everything. We get tattoos, we marry 3 and 4 times, and sometimes we marry 2 and 3 times without getting divorced. Okay, so the Christian behavior has just become horrible. So the world responded in this fashion. They backed away and said, all of y'all a bunch of hypocrites.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
This fall, Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church is hosting Friday Night Explosion Services, where you can experience high praise, heartfelt worship, and powerful messages. Join us Friday, September 16th, as Pastor W. Lonnie Herndon of the Church of Christian Compassion delivers an empowering word from the Lord. Services begin at 7 p.m. at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit betheldeliverance.org.